the World with Reporters. A ceremony attended by Syrians, Palestinians, Iranians, and Yemenis was held in Damascus to mark the first martyrdom anniversary of Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani. Iran's ambassador to Syria asserted that the resistance front will continue to fight back against any aggression, reiterating the assassination was a sign of the weakness of the United States.
By firing the missile on General Soleimani, the U.S. targeted the Iranian people, their power, and pride. The U.S. wanted to thwart the resistance front's plans, but they failed. They have no choice but to leave the region.
Delegates from Syria's Ba'ath Arab Socialist Party and Yemen also delivered words on General Soleimani and his achievements in leading resistance fighters against the Western plots in the region. Vice Secretary General of the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine said General Soleimani told him the only path to liberate Palestine was armed struggle and national unity between Palestinians.
And Soleimani,
General Soleimani urged us to depend on ourselves instead of others. Thanks to his efforts and advices, today we make weapons and the Palestinian resistance is currently in constant development.
Photos of General Soleimani were also exhibited showing moments of his missions across Syria and Iraq. For years, General Soleimani led Iranian military advisors in Syria at Syria's request and played a key role in defeating Daesh terrorists as well as restoring security to hundreds of square kilometers across the Arab country. For over a week, Syrians, Iranians, and Palestinians have commemorated General Soleimani's martyrdom. And as observers say, contrary to the U.S. and its regional allies' will, General Soleimani's assassination has further strengthened unity among all members of the resistance front. Hamad Ali, Damascus.
A compact group of demonstrators took the street again in Paris to protest against police violence, and in particular against the impunity of police officers who used the very controversial method of knee-to-neck choke with fatal consequences. 1 year ago, Cédric Chouviat died after 22 seconds of knee-to-neck choke that caused him fatal wounds. He died in a hospital 2 days later. 4 police officers were directly involved and indicted for involuntary homicide. The family of the victim asked for their suspension.
We have asked the Interior Minister to suspend the 4 police officers involved in the death and the murder of my father. We have been waiting for their suspension for 1 year now. There is no progress at all. We are waiting for a reaction, a real one.
Assa Traoré is the sister of Adama Traoré, murdered also by the knee-on-neck choke. The same method that killed George Floyd. That led to a worldwide protest asking the ban on such dangerous techniques.
That technique of immobilization used by police forces must be forbidden. That technique is fatal. We have denounced that method for 4 years now because Adam Traoré died exactly the same way as Cédric Chouviat, with a knee on his neck. Both said their last words, "I can't breathe." If French authorities had listened to us, Cédric Chouviat would not have died.
This protest is not only against police violence, but also against the global security law that would facilitate police violence, or at least would make it more difficult to film police violence. It's thanks to video footage that the beating of a music producer in Paris by police officers last November was made public.
Abnormal things are happening in this country from the police side. The government is obliged to react because there is an important mobilization, especially from the youth, against the global security law. It's important to withdraw that law.
The march ended under the Eiffel Tower, the place where Cédric Chouviat was choked to death. Cédric Chouviat died with a knee-on-neck choke. As long as this method will not be forbidden by the French government, the impunity of police officers will continue. Chris Den Hont, Paris.
On the first anniversary of the U.S. assassination of Iranian commander General Qasem Soleimani and his companions, Palestinians in the Gaza Strip came together to thank the general for his support in their struggle against the Israeli aggression.
The assassination of General Soleimani has not stopped Iran's support for the Palestinian cause. Our resistance will continue until the liberation of Al-Quds. The blood of General Soleimani will not go in vain. General Soleimani made a turning point in the history of the Palestinian cause.
Many Palestinian leaders and officials joined the mourners and expressed gratitude to Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, who was assassinated in a U.S. airstrike in Baghdad on January. Palestinians consider General Soleimani a symbol of resistance for all the oppressed Palestinians.
We stress that the resistance will continue till all Zionist plots are thwarted in the region. The path of General Soleimani will continue. His assassination has made us more determined to keep the resistance alive.
Palestinians stressed that they will follow in the footsteps of General Soleimani, who had a major role in supporting the Palestinian resistance in different fields and making a big difference in the balance of deterrence and rules with the Zionist regime.
General Soleimani was assassinated because he was supporting the resistance front. He always cared about Jerusalem, Al-Quds, and Palestinians. His assassination has made us more united in our fight against the occupation.
Similar gatherings were held in other parts of the region to commemorate the Iranian top commander.
Palestinians here consider General Soleimani a symbol of resistance. They say they will continue his path of struggling against the Israeli occupation until the liberation of Palestine and Jerusalem Al-Quds. Ruba Shabit, Gaza.
New crimes are added to the Saudi-led coalition's record violations of international law following the death of 22 Yemeni prisoners and the coalition's prisons in 2020, all due to torture and medical neglect.
Torture has become a regular thing for the Saudi coalition, and unfortunately, these crimes are being frequent and vary from year to year. This year, 22 prisoners were killed either under torture or medical and food neglect. So we believe that there is an intention to get rid of the prisoners.
The head of Yemen's National Committee for Prisoners Affairs confirms that the UAE keeps hundreds of prisoners in its presence in southern Yemen, despite its refusal to attend any negotiations, while the United Nations has promised to attend amid the humanitarian nature of the prisoners' issue.
The Emiratis are an essential part of this aggression, and they are on the ground, and they have dozens of prisons in the lands they occupied here and in the Horn of Africa. We have asked the United Nations to bring the Emiratis for negotiations, but so far there is no response from them, and we are still waiting.
2020 witnessed remarkable progress in the liberation of 1,087 prisoners of the Yemeni army and the popular committees, 670 of whom were freed through UN mediation and the rest through local exchange deals.
The Saudi coalition's violations of international humanitarian laws are not only against the prisoners, but against the entire people of Yemen, who are the victims of an ongoing war on their country. Abdul Latif Al-Washali, Sana'a.
Tehran University has held a ceremony to mark the anniversary of the U.S. assassination of Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani. Iran's Minister of Science and Technology, who was attending the ceremony, said that universities and academic centers have great capacities to keep the path of Qasem Soleimani alive by studying different aspects of his personality and beliefs.
General Qasem Soleimani was a great person. His personality had different aspects. I believe that academic centers should study his behaviors and personality. I think his lifestyle and beliefs serve as a good role model for all the youth of our country and the world. We have great capacities and potentials at universities and academic centers in this regard.
The event in Tehran came as people and officials attended a ceremony in the city of Kerman, the burial place of General Qasem Soleimani, to remember his lofty status 1 year after his martyrdom.
The martyrdom of General Qasem Soleimani had a big impact on the minds of people, both because of his own personality and what happened after his martyrdom.
Therefore, for a researcher and an expert of social sciences, his martyrdom provides a wide range of topics to study.
General Soleimani, the commander of the Quds Force of the Islamic Revolution Guards Corps, IRGC, and his trench mate Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis were assassinated along with their companions in a U.S. terror drone strike near Baghdad International Airport on January 3, 2020. Meanwhile, in response, the IRGC targeted the U.S. airbase of Ain al-Assad in Anbar province in western Iraq to retaliate the U.S. assassination of top Iranian anti-terror commander Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani. Moreover, according to Iranian officials, Tehran has filed a lawsuit against the U.S. for assassinating General Soleimani, and soon a court session will be held in Iran in this regard. Iranian officials believe that more than anything, the U.S. assassination of General Qasem Soleimani has proved to the global public opinion that the U.S. administration is the leading sponsor of terrorism in the world. Saman Kujuri, Tehran.
In gratitude for their sacrifices in confronting America, Israel, and the Ottomans in the region, Yemenis held an event to commemorate the first anniversary of the martyrdom of Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani and his companion Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis in the presence of the Iranian ambassador and representatives of the Islamic Resistance Movement.
Today, we live on the martyrdom anniversary of the two leaders, Soleimani and al-Muhandis. Remember the positions of these two heroes to stand by the nation's causes. Haj Qasem Soleimani gave himself to Palestine and the resistance and was intransigent in front of the projects of the Zionist enemy through which it wants to break up the region.
The participants recalled the actions of the martyr Soleimani and how he terrified America and Israel, which thought by assassinating him to weaken the resistance forces, but contrary, it lit a fire that would not be extinguished until the liberation of Jerusalem al-Quds and the demise of global arrogance.
We commemorate the two great martyrs, Haj Qasem Soleimani and Abu Mahdi Muhandis, who strived for God's cause and are loyal to God and did what they were required to do. God gave them wisdom and strength. They were great people, and we should follow their path.
The martyr Soleimani was an icon in the face of the Zionist entity and its projects. He played a great role in supporting the Palestinian resistance movements and stood by the Iraqi Popular Mobilization Forces in its battles with Daesh and Iraq.
Once again, Yemenis have taken a resolve to continue the legacy of General Qasem Soleimani in the face of years of aggression against the impoverished nation by Saudi Arabia and some of its regional allies and their Western backers. Abdul Latif Al-Washali, Sana'a.
Crowds of people as well as officials have flocked to Sayyida Zainab Shrine near Damascus to pay tribute to Iranian top commander Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani. In an address to the ceremony, Iran's ambassador to Syria said General Soleimani was a symbol assassinated by the U.S. to force Iranians to kneel, stressing that the resistance front will triumph and take revenge of Soleimani's blood.
The Iranian nation will never sit back against those who carried out the crime. Those behind the crime will be punished. Iran will continue supporting Syria and its army until the Syrian army's sovereignty is restored on all territories.
Other speakers underlined the effective role of martyr Soleimani in defeating Daesh terrorists in Syria and Iraq and foiling Western plots across the region. Representative of the Syrian army in the ceremony praised General Soleimani as a brave and wise commander who won the trust of all resistance fighters.
We have gathered here today tribute to martyr Soleimani. His sacrifices will not be forgotten. We will continue adhering to resistance as a sole option. We promise martyr Soleimani that his memory will be our path.
The crime of assassinating General Soleimani amounts to international terrorism in its ugliest form. General Soleimani's assassination is a great loss to Iran, Syria, and the resistance front. But thousands of Soleimanis are yet to come.
Photos of General Soleimani were also showcased in and around Sayyida Zainab Shrine. General Soleimani, who was assassinated by the U.S. in January 2020 in Iraq, led Iranian military advisors in Syria for years across Syrian territories, mainly Aleppo, Damascus, and Deir al-Zor. His command played a major role in restoring stability to hundreds of square kilometers in Syria. General Soleimani's significant achievements in Syria cannot be forgotten by the people here. Syrians have marked his first martyrdom anniversary by showing appreciation to his support and acknowledgement that security in so many areas in Syria wouldn't have been possible without his presence. Hamad Ali from Sayyida Zainab Shrine, Damascus Countryside.
People have gathered here in Kabul to pay respect to the bravery and the leading role of two significant figures against invading forces and foreign-backed terrorists, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani and Afghanistan's national hero, Ahmad Shah Massoud.
Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani and our national hero, Ahmad Shah Massoud, were close friends and comrades in the region. Their sacrifices have not been fully highlighted yet, so we need to know them more than ever.
Given the fact that Afghanistan has been repeatedly invaded by some superpowers, mainly over the past two centuries, resistance is considered a familiar concept among the nation. Afghans have had some top resistance leaders like Ahmad Shah Massoud, a national hero who became the victim of a terrorist attack back in 2001. His characteristics are very much similar to that of Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani in the eyes of Afghans.
The U.S. expected to remove the name of Qasem Soleimani from the minds of resisting nations by assassinating him. But contrary to those expectations, he became a popular hero, not only for Iranians, but also for all resistance nations across the world, just like Massoud.
Afghans and Iranians share many commonalities in terms of history, culture, religion, and security. Many people here in Afghanistan believe that one of the major similarities between these two nations is their resisting spirit against the invaders. This event in Afghanistan marks the memories of two well-known resistance leaders, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani and Afghanistan's national hero Ahmad Shah Massoud. This comes as Afghans themselves are suffering from terrorism and are seeking to follow the path of these two heroes. Syed Amin Alemi, Kabul.
A year has passed since millions of Iranians attended the funeral service of slain Iranian military figure General Soleimani. Now, on the first anniversary of his assassination by the U.S., his fellow citizens in Kerman have once again come to his burial place to pay respect to him. Soleimani was the commander of IRGC's Quds Force, which is in charge of conducting overseas operations. He was killed in a U.S. air raid outside Baghdad International Airport on a direct order from U.S. President Donald Trump.
We strongly demand that the Islamic Republic take harsh revenge. This is the demand made by all Iranians who owe their security to the efforts of General Soleimani in the fight against the terrorists.
General Soleimani is well known as the nemesis of the terrorists in the region. He played a key role in dismantling Daesh terrorists in Iraq in 2017 and helped liberate major areas in Syria from the terror group. That's what makes everyone question the U.S.'s drive behind his assassination.
General Soleimani brought the U.S. to its knees in the region. The U.S. sought to trigger chaos in our region by creating Daesh, but General Soleimani helped unite the people of the region and foiled Washington's attempts by defeating Daesh.
Following Soleimani's assassination, massive crowds of people in Iraq took part in his funeral service to pay respect to him. This was followed by million-strong processions in Iran, the last of which was held in his hometown before he was laid to rest. Tehran regards General Soleimani as the architect of U.S.'s defeat in the region. His role in dislodging Daesh terrorists won him huge support and popularity, not only among Iranians, but among the people of Syria and Iraq, who say his assassination created a united front against the U.S. Yusuf Jalali, Kerman.
We're back in the eye of the storm. These were the words of Simon Stevens, the head of Britain's National Health Service, as more people are in hospital with COVID-19 now than at the peak of the first wave earlier this year. authorities are blaming the soaring infection rates on a new, more transmissible variant of the virus, first identified in Southeast England. Dr. Katie Sanderson of the Doctors Association has warned that the strain on hospitals is only going to get worse.
The volume of sick patients coming in with coronavirus is verging on unmanageable just in terms of ambulance capacity, A&E capacity and bed capacity. We haven't seen the patients who had coronavirus infections that they've contracted over Christmas yet because they're probably not sick enough to come to hospital yet.
Ambulances with infected patients have been forced to wait outside hospitals as capacity is overstretched. Many more infected individuals are forced to wait at home as ambulances are unable to meet the demands on the system.
This is something that we've just never experienced before. Control room staff are having to make incredibly difficult decisions to decide who gets an ambulance and in what order, quite often with huge numbers of people waiting for ambulances and they have nobody left to send.
A growing number of National Health Service staff are also off work because they are self-isolating or have become sick with the virus. Officials are now considering tightening coronavirus restrictions, with some suggesting a total nationwide lockdown to halt the spread of the new strain. Britain has recorded more than 71,000 confirmed coronavirus deaths, although some question the accuracy of the numbers when compared to mortality rates from previous years before the pandemic. According to the Office of National Statistics, the spike in fatalities for this year remains significantly higher than the government's official record of COVID fatalities.
ارزش‌ها و صفاتی که انسان احترام می‌گذاره، همه این ارزش‌ها در علی ابن ابی طالب جمعه.
Human in general, whether a Muslim, non-Muslim, or even a disbeliever, respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, the programs To My Brother, and I'm your host, Mehdi. We're talking about the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Please stay with us. Imam Ali alayhi salam, the most distinguished and extraordinary personality in Islam after the Holy Prophet Muhammad. His entire life is a struggle for the advancement of Islam, the universal religion prescribed by Allah for all of humanity. Imam Ali alayhi salam was the living miracle raised up by the Holy Prophet Muhammad himself, and was not only the successor and the executor of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, but as history testifies, he was also a great human being, a brave defender of Islam, a just and fair judge, a generous philanthropist, a champion of the people, and the most pious person of his time.
Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters in faith. Welcome to this segment of To My Brother, I'm Muhammad. And today, I'm going to read to you an aphorism of Imam Ali from Nahjul Balagha, before that, let's go ahead and listen to the Arabic words, and after that, I'm going to read you the English translation. Stay with us.
قال أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام من أطاع التواني ضيع الحقوق ومن أطاع الواشي ضيع الصديق
Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam said, "He who is a sluggard loses his rights, and he who believes in the backbiter loses his friend."
Welcome back, dear friends. It's an honor to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio, the programs to my brother, and we were discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Now, one of the very interesting things which we learn about Imam Ali, and we learn from Imam Ali, peace and blessings upon him, is the fact that there are certain people in the world who are endowed with special knowledge, such as the knowledge of the unseen or the knowledge of the future. Now, these have to be very special people who are intimately and intricately connected with Allah in order for them to receive such kind of knowledge. The Holy Prophet and all of the Holy Prophets, as well as the 12 divinely appointed Imams and Lady Zahra, the daughter of the Holy Prophet, they are endowed with such special knowledge. Now, there was an example of Imam Ali's knowledge of the unseen was when he was holding a session to receive the allegiance, the bay'at, from the people. In this session, Imam Ali says, "A 1,000 strong crowd, no more, no less, will come to you from Kufa." Ibn Abbas, who was a devoted student of Imam Ali and kept everything under watch, reports to speak about the fixed number of 1,000 men made my heart beat anxiously. I said to myself, if the crowd turns out to be less or more than 1,000, the blind-hearted hypocrites will start mocking and denying Imam Ali. For this reason, I started counting newcomers one by one till it came to be 999. The fact that the number of those attending the session was not 1,000 brought sadness to me, saying to myself, can a true leader like Ali say something wrong? Amid this, I saw a person coming from afar. When he came near, I found out that he was Owaisi Qarani, whose presence made the number perfect, a total of 1,000. We learn here, dear brothers, that there are certain people in the world and throughout history who have been given specific and certain and special and unique knowledge, one of them being Imam Ali, who could foretell and had knowledge of the unseen. And so we learn in this universal persona that we should follow someone who has a special position in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Truly, the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
تبقى عيني بدمع مشتاقيا قد لسعت حية الهوى كبدي فلا تبي ولها ولا راغي
And now we invite you to listen to Sayyid Ali Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, about the personality of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
تمام ارزش‌ها و صفاتی که انسان چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به اسلام چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به هر دینی
human in general whether a muslim non-muslim or even a disbeliever respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib this means Ali ibn Abi Talib is a global character who is respected by Sunnis, Shias, and even non-Muslims. Everyone, even the faithless people, respect Imam Ali and his personal values.
IRIB English Radio. You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Now we invite you to listen to Sayyid Muhammad Ridhvi.
There are many, many narrations in the Sunni Tafasir and books of Hadith, including Bukhari and Muslim, about this ayat. And one of the famous narrations which have been repeated many times in these books is from Abdullah ibn Abbas, where he says this happened on a Friday at the time of the khutbah. وَبَقِيَ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ اسْمَ عَشَرَ رَجُلًا وَالصَّبْعَ نِسْوَةً According to Abdullah ibn Abbas, only 12 men and 7 women remained. There must have been a big number of the Sahaba there to listen to Rasulullah. Don't tell me, you know, it was not Baitul Qaim, New Jersey, and Mawlana Rizvi speaking, no. It is Masjid al-Nabi, it is Rasulullah, and it's Namaz al-Jumma, which is wajib when Rasul is there. So it must have been a big number there. But according to Abdullah ibn Abbas, only 12 men and 7 women remaining there. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ لَوْ خَرَجُ كُلُّهُمْ لَاتَّرَّمَ الْمَسْجِدَ عَلَيْهِمْ نَارًا If all of them would have left, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have sent fire down. And so this is the severity of, you know, condemnation, I would say, or admonishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for abandoning the khutbah of Rasulullah in Namaz-e-Jumaz. Another ayat of the same kind. You know, before using these, you know, harsh khutbah of Amir al-Mu'mineen to criticize Shias, that he is condemning Shias, you know, look at the Quran. This is from Surah Ali Imran, ayat number 53, about Uhud, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, remember what happened in the battle of Uhud. You started running away. You didn't even look back to see anyone. While the Rasul at the back was calling you, come back, come back. This is admonition from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yet you are saying, because they were Sahaba, even though this happened and Allah was disappointed, still they are all of them udul and adil and just. And so for us, it doesn't make it, it's not a big deal. If our Imam, as a sincere leader and a loving father of the community, sometimes admonishes his followers so that they can become better Shia and better Muslim.
Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
This is IRIB English Radio. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
The limelight.
In northern Syria and Iraq, where millions of people remain displaced or in internment camps, images of vaccines being administered in the United States and United Kingdom have heightened fears that the collective efforts of global scientists will be focused on developed societies. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres has pleaded for the vaccines being rolled out across the globe to be made available to all the peoples, and that their distribution must be viewed as a global public good. His comments followed mounting concerns that a scheme to deliver COVID vaccines to poorer countries faces a high risk of failure and could leave at least half the planet without vaccinations for at least the next 3 years. The World Health Organization, WHO, is administering the rollout to poorer nations and said it aims to have 2 billion people vaccinated by the end of 2021. However, the target has been described by senior United Nations officials as ambitious and unlikely to be met without a serious upscaling of resources and political mobilization. We're prepared for you an article written by Martin Chulov under the heading World Leaders Urge to Make COVID Vaccine Available to Millions of Refugees. The article has been taken from the British newspaper The Guardian. Please stay with us for more of Martin Chulov's article. Global humanitarian figures and non-governmental organizations have urged world leaders to urgently make COVID-19 vaccinations available to millions of refugees worldwide and others displaced by war, as the pandemic continues to overwhelm some of the world's most vulnerable communities. The impact of the contagion has sharply intensified across West Asia in recent weeks, matching soaring global numbers. However, it has been further amplified by drastically under-resourced medical responses that cannot cope with the numbers of dying or seriously ill. In northern Syria and Iraq, where millions of people remain displaced or in internment camps, images of vaccines being administered in the United States and United Kingdom have heightened fears that the collective effort of global scientists will be focused on developed societies. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres has pleaded for the vaccines being rolled out across the globe to be made available to all the peoples of the world and that their distribution must be viewed as a global public good. Antonio Guterres's comments followed mounting concerns that the scheme to deliver COVID vaccines to poorer countries faces a high risk of failure and could leave at least half the planet without vaccinations for at least the next 3 years. The World Health Organization, WHO, is administering the rollout to poorer nations and said it aims to have 2 billion people vaccinated by the end of 2021. However, the target has been described by senior United Nations officials as ambitious and unlikely to be met without a serious upscaling of resources and political mobilization. UN High Commissioner for Refugees, UNHCR, and the International Organization for Migration, IOM, have added their weight to the concerns, imploring that refugees and migrants are included in government's vaccine allocations. The International Organization for Migration's Director General, Antonio Vitorino, said, "In these times of pandemic and beyond, we stand ready to support governments in their efforts to make healthcare available for all, through universal healthcare coverage, a reality." Antonio Vitorino added, "Access to health is a fundamental right, but too often still those who need it the most, including migrants and forcibly displaced persons, are left out. If 2020 has taught us something, it is that ill health is a universal issue that does not distinguish based on nationality. So, to be truly effective, neither should our healthcare coverage, including in upcoming COVID-19 vaccination efforts." Mercy Corps, an international aid agency, said significant difficulties already existed in delivering basic necessities to places such as Yemen and Syria, where needs for a vaccine are great. The organization's chief executive, Tiada Doyen McKenna, said, the risks and challenges ahead aren't limited to vaccine supplies or maintaining a cold chain, adding, in conflict zones and places hosting refugees and internally displaced people, vaccines are likely to become yet another scarce resource that is contested, with a potential for escalating tension and conflict as a result. She said, the international community must ensure through diplomatic pressure and underground support that vaccines reach all communities, including the most vulnerable communities and the most marginalized communities, in ways that prevent grievances and conflict. Tadla Doyen McKenna noted, we also urgently need donors and governments to find trusted community organizations to begin the outreach work now to ensure that misinformation is tackled and communities accept a vaccine when it does arrive. If we don't act together as a global community, we risk leaving an entire generation of the most vulnerable behind. The United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, UNHCR, said it has managed to maintain infection rates among forcibly displaced communities at comparable levels to local populations. However, official numbers of infections provided by governments are widely believed to be extreme underestimates. Senior members of the United Nations system fear that the distribution of vaccines will become a political tool, as have other forms of aid such as food and medicine. Host governments are likely to be the primary means of entry of the vaccine. Mahmoud Sneeman, a resident of the Hassan Sham camp in northern Iraq, said, I don't think we will get this vaccine as internally displaced people in the camps because we need a representative to source it to us. In our case, it is the government that should order for us. Senior members of the United Nations system fear the distribution of vaccines will become a political tool, as have other forms of aid, such as food and medicine. Host governments are likely to be the primary means of entry of the vaccine. The United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, UNHCR, said global numbers of forced displacements crossed the 80 million mark in the middle of 2020. More than 50 million people were internally displaced, with potentially less access to international aid than those who had made it across international borders. Khaled Murad, a member of a camp in northern Iraq, said time was against refugees and displaced people who saw no real hope coming. He said, I don't think this vaccine is only for the West, but I think it will take a long time for Iraqi people to receive it. If Iraq receives the vaccine, we will also get it. Meantime, Russia, which began rolling out its Sputnik vaccine in early December, has so far vaccinated more than 800,000 people. According to the Russian Health Minister, Mikhail Murashko, more than 1.5 million vaccine doses have also been dispatched. Moscow has also started supplying the vaccine to other countries. It sent 300,000 doses of the vaccine to Argentina recently. The country with the world's fourth higher number of coronavirus cases reported 26,301 new cases in the last 24 hours, taking its total caseload to 3,212,637 on Saturday, 2nd of January. Health authorities said 447 people had died in the past 24 hours, taking the official death toll to 58,002. The United Kingdom recorded a further 57,725 cases of infection on Saturday. Britain reactivated emergency hospitals built at the start of the pandemic early last year and shut primary schools in London on Friday, 1st of January. The nation is also facing a fast spread of a much more infectious variant of the coronavirus. The new strain that was first emerged in Britain prompted dozens of countries to close their borders to Britain. The British government, led by Prime Minister Boris Johnson, is also under scrutiny for frequent reversals during the pandemic, including delaying lockdown during the first wave back in March. The Royal College of Nursing warned that the country does not have enough nurses to staff the new sites. The Royal London Hospital also announced earlier that it was now in disaster medicine mode and unable to provide high-standard critical care. The country recorded about 53,285 cases on Friday, 1st of January 2021, and 613 new deaths. According to Johns Hopkins University data, the United Kingdom, one of the worst hit countries in the world, has so far recorded about 2,607,000 cases of COVID-19 and 74,682 deaths as of Friday, 1st of January 2021. India, with second highest numbers of infections, has approved two COVID-19 vaccines on Saturday. The Information and Broadcasting Minister, Prakash Javadkar, said one vaccine developed by AstraZeneca and Oxford University had been given the green light on Friday, 1st of January. The other vaccine, known as Covaxin, has been developed locally by Bharat Biotechnology and the government-run Indian Council of Medical Research. India's Minister of Information and Broadcasting, Prakash Javadkar, said two other vaccines were waiting to be approved. He said India is perhaps the only country where at least four vaccines are getting ready. Two other vaccines waiting to be approved are Zydus Cadila's ZCOVD and Russia's Sputnik vaccine, which are both on trial in India. Javadkar said, one was approved recently for emergency use, Serum's Covishield. The Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine was granted its first approval by Britain recently. India's Central Drug Standard Control Organization, CDSCO, is expected to announce the dosage and other details about the vaccines very soon. The Asian country has reported more than 10,305,000 cases of coronavirus and around 149,218 deaths as of Friday, 1st of January 2021. New Delhi promised to vaccinate 300 million of its 1.35 billion people in the first 6 to 8 months of this year.
انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
Allahu ya Allah subhanallah. Allahu ya Allah walhamdulillah. Allahu wa la ilaha
This is part of a speech of Imam Khomeini, the founder of Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with clergy and the students of the seminary. Due to the multiplicity of his sins, which have darkened and blackened his heart, man is totally unable to accept truth and may not even consider them to be likely. actually man would not recklessly run wild if he considered it all likely. He need not have certainty. That which is reported in the Noble Quran is right, the promises and the threats, and that he should amend it, his ways and deeds. If you consider it all likely that ferocious beasts are to be found along the path which might harm you, or that there are armed bandits who might hold you up, you would refrain from taking the path, and you would try to ascertain the correctness or incorrectness of these reports.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are with another program of Spring of Truth from IRB English Radio, and I am your host, Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi. In this program, we were talking about the viewpoints of Imam Khomeini. I have a very important saying of Imam Khomeini here, and which is related to the servitude, and obviously we were talking about being in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to having a divine cause. Here, Imam Khomeini is talking about one of the major criteria, or we can say one of the major things because of which he was successful in bringing the revolution, because of which he was successful in his life. And that is, he says that, rely on God. Sometimes, you know, the wife, she relies on the husband, and obviously in these relations we can see like the kids relying on their parents, and maybe we rely on our brothers, on our friends, on someone who is in our community and we are very close to him or her, then we rely. This reliance is on the basis of power, because we think, because we believe that that person has more power, that's why we rely on them.
Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum.
On the other hand, being a Muslim, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is almighty, al-aziz, al-qadir, all-powerful. He is qadir, he is powerful, he has all the powers. Because he is our creator, he is all-powerful. Because he is our creator, he is almighty. So, is it not better to rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the creator of all, who is almighty, who is all-powerful, rather than relying on this and that, rather than relying on those who were created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who did not had anything, and Allah gave them all these powers and obviously this honor or status that they have, because Allah is the one who gives all this honor and status. So Imam Khomeini is talking about tawakkul. He says, tawakkul ala Allah, rely on God. This reliance on God, by His will solve all problems. If Allah wills, everything is solved. Why? Because we have relied on Him, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
From the heart of beautiful Iran.
IRIB English Radio.